Hola y welcome a la nueva temporada de Cerebro Web 3. Nueva temporada implicaba un nuevo formato. Nueva música, nuevos temas y nuevos invitados. Y a pesar de que seguimos trabajando con la misión de conectar a los hispanohablantes en Web 3, para este episodio, nos conectamos con Matt Bailey, uno de los fundadores de Club NFT. Un servicio gratuito para hacer backups de tus NFTs. Matt nos habló sobre los comienzos, los retos, las dificultades y el futuro de este gran proyecto. Matt nos acompañó el lunes 27 de febrero durante el episodio 103 de Mañanas NFT and Twitter Space que hacemos todos los lunes, miércoles y viernes a las 9:30 de la mañana Eastern Time, en donde informamos sobre avances, música, arte y los últimos trends en el universo Web3. Mi nombre es Lola y este voiceover fue creado con Morph, una herramienta text-to-speech basada en inteligencia artificial. Disfruten de la conversación con Matt Bailey.
Bueno, GM, welcome, bienvenidos al episodio 103 de Mañanas NFT. Hoy con una dinámica un poco diferente porque tenemos a nuestro gran invitado aquí, a Matt, que nos va a estar hablando de todo su club NFT. Entonces, solo para que sepan que el programa lo estaremos haciendo en inglés y luego estaremos haciendo un segundo programa comentando y traduciendo toda la información para las personas que no. Matt, I was just telling the audience that we're going to do the whole show in English and so we can speak to you. And then we'll do a second show, kind of like revisiting what we're going to be speaking here for the just the Spanish community. Man, how are you? Thank you for being here. What an honor.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I apologize if we don't have a representative who can speak native Spanish, but hopefully everything comes out okay. And I'm always available for questions too. If anyone has questions after the recap and you want to get back to me, I'd be more than happy to answer anything.
Yeah, man, just to give a little bit of context, I'm sorry, Maurice, but just to give a little bit of context, our friend Matt Bailey is from this project called Club NFT. Matt, I gave you the advertise for Club NFT almost all the spaces, because I don't think they're in the space or in the Web3 universe. There's like a service, a tool. I don't know how we can define it, no, but this tool that gives you the opportunity to have your NFT backed up, I think it's really forward thinking. I think it's super disruptive in every positive way of the word about what you do. So prior to, you know, go deep into Club NFT, we thought that the most interesting way to start this conversation is talk about a little bit about yourself. So I don't know, Mao, if you want to say something first, beginning, or you, Matt, if you have something to say, now is the time.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Matt Bailey. I'm the VP of Engineering over at Club NFT. Been in software for about 15 years, and actually early days was in robotics and assistive technology. So I was working on robotic wheelchairs for people to help navigate spaces, autonomous wheelchairs, which was pretty cool. And then got into the green tech space where I was working on software to help basically reduce power consumption in data centers, which for like 10 years was sort of my focus. On the side, I've always worked on kind of like independent projects. And so we'll get into it later, but the founder of Club NFT, as many of your listeners may know, is Artdome. And Artdome and I are actually brothers. And so we've worked on a whole mess of projects together, including a couple startups. But we worked on like basketball visualization sites, and then Jay Bailey, who's Artdome, started working on a catalog resume project to basically digitize as many catalog resumes, which for those who may not know, is sort of like a list of the complete works for a given artist. They're traditionally held in like book form, and they're hard to access. And so he was working on a project trying to basically bring this data to the world by digitizing all these books. And so I've been working with him on that project, and that's kind of how I got into the Web3 space, which happy to get into as well.
Yeah, I really like everything that you're saying. And it's kind of a funny story because everybody get into the space in a different way. But I feel that for you, it comes from this background of, you know, everything about engineer, but mix of it with art, no? And that's kind of what it happened to the three of us and everybody in here. that we were kind of looking into this space that is evolving really fast, but at the same time, we're like, okay, we need to learn so much that is kind of what we need to start right now, to start learning and kind of understanding what's going on. And sometimes I have to say, it's really difficult to keep up with all the information that is coming and all the changes that are happening. So pretty much, just to give you a bit of context too of what we're doing, is just bringing all the news and everything that's going on in Spanish to our audience. So I like because I have to say that the first time I was like, okay, I think Topo is actually working for Club NFT, because every episode he's saying, hey guys, are you sure that you back up your NFTs? I did it a long time ago, but I have to say something that I try to do pretty often, because if I appreciate everything that I have in my wallet and I believe in the artists that I'm supporting for the long run, I need to make sure that those are saved. You know, I think that's why it's kind of, I really appreciate that you're in here with us. And I feel that it's great for the Spanish speaking out is to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, and you're totally right. There's so much to keep up with. You know, it's funny, back in 2017, I mean, I had been familiar with crypto and interested in the tech side. I was never, you know, necessarily somebody mining or like a big holder. But come 2017, Jay comes to me and he's like, hey, I met these people and, you know, they're buying and selling JPEGs on the blockchain and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, goodness, like, I'm going to have to tell Jay, like, you can't own a JPEG, dude. Like, what are you talking about? And it took me a long time. And actually, I kind of came into the Web3 and NFT space via the Art Dome blog as well. Like, kind of, I had to wrap my head around and really kind of get into it to understand a lot of, like, what was happening. And what was interesting was, you know, there's a lot of kind of problems within the Web3 space. And initially I was dismissive and kind of like, you know, this isn't fully baked. And a lot of this stuff doesn't really completely work the way people think it works. And as I started to meet more of the people building in the space, that's kind of what transitioned me, is that these people were scared that things kind of weren't fully baked. They were actually excited by it. They were like, even in its current form, Web3 is super transformative. It's enabling a bunch of, like, you know, all over the world transactions and artists and creatives to be able to get paid. And, like, we're just excited to be able to be part of building it moving forward. And I think, you know, my entire career, I'd always kind of looked for established technologies and, you know, and worked within frameworks. And so it was the first time that I really got to get in on the ground floor and have an influence over the way things that were being built. And I think for a lot of people in this space, creative and technical, you know, that's what you find, is that sort of spirit of kind of wanting to move things forward and not being scared of the fact that maybe not everything is completely solved yet.
Yeah, you know what? And that's something that I feel that is beautiful about this space. I say that in, like, I'm a lawyer and I work in finance, and pretty much if you work in a specific industry, they believe that you need to know everything, and they believe that everything is, you know, ready for the, like, to be used. But in here, I feel one of the things that I really like is that you can kind of try, and is you can be, you know, humble enough to say, hey, we know that it's, as you say, this is not fully baked, but we're gonna use it and we're learning as we go. And I feel, I always say it, we started this podcast, I will say a year ago, and we had an episode, of course, like a basic episode about NFTs. And I always say, you know what, if you go back to that episode, everything is changing, and pretty much you can add more information every time that you, every day. So it's an industry that is evolving, but at the same time, I'm excited about the evolution. I'm excited about what's gonna happen. I'm excited of what's going on. And that's what I think that is beautiful about the space. I feel, I'm not sure if Topo and Ikorma, they have a question, but I feel that, as I said, I feel that it's really important, because I feel security is huge thing in the space. And security, of course, we try to push security in the Spanish community and saying, you know what, you have to keep everything safe. You have to make sure the links, you have to make sure everything. But no one is going into details of what's going on with your NFTs and how they are, like, allocated or how they are saved and where is the exactly the information. I feel pretty much I always have two examples and I have to put it in here. I always talk about CryptoPunks and I talk about Onchain Monkey as, you know, as a way to explain your app or your product. I don't know if you can go into details in that one, and that way we can kind of explain a bit more the audience.
Yeah, let's do it. So, a little bit of context. The company was kind of started based on sort of two issues that Art Gnome encountered from back sort of 2017, 2018 period. There was sort of two practices that he didn't fully understand, and that kind of got him a little bit into trouble down the line with regards to owning NFTs. You know, the first problem, which is one we don't necessarily address, but we talk a lot about, is custodying. So a lot of marketplaces, just to make things easier for users, would basically custody the assets or custody the NFTs on your behalf. So you would have a traditional sort of Web2 login. They had your keys. And then when you would purchase things, they would go into a wallet that was owned by the marketplace effectively. And the problem with that is that when the marketplace shuts down, if they don't export, or if you're not able to basically move the assets or NFTs out, or if they shut down abruptly, or if they're exploited, you lose everything. And that's the whole, you know, not your keys, not your NFTs type, you know, mantra. And that was one thing that actually happened to him, is that he lost custody of several works that he had purchased very early on. You know, there was actually X copies in particular, which, you know, now are, we all know, highly sought after. In addition, the other problem, and this one is one that we're solving and relates to what you were talking about, is that people don't realize that a lot of the metadata in the images and the assets associated with NFTs don't live on chain. And so, you know, most people, you ask, like, you know, okay, well, where does the NFT live? Where's the image and all that, like, you know, trait metadata and things? And, you know, for the most part, people say, well, of course it's on chain, right? I mean, it's blockchain, they're NFTs, that's where it should live. And the reality is that, you know, in the case of Ethereum, well over, you know, I think it's, I'll get the number slightly wrong, but I think it's like 10% are on chain, 40% are actually stored on centralized servers, and we can get into that in a minute, and then 50% are stored on decentralized servers. And so there aren't as many on-chain, you know, where the data that actually lives on-chain NFTs as most people think. And even in the case of like on-chain NFTs, so if you take like an Art Blocks, for example, which a lot of people are familiar with, there's still actually off-chain things that are stored, that they store them for a reason. They're basically, in order for like the ecosystem to work and decentralization to work, the metadata has to be in a specific format and images need to sort of be cached. And so they still use off-chain data to basically make things easily accessible. So the code is stored on chain 100%, they do that, but they're still leveraging some off-chain metadata. And the reason why it's important to understand that is because, as I mentioned before, there's a high rate of these NFTs that are pointing to data that is on centralized servers. And if you know anything about the internet, basically like a centralized server is like something I could run and I have my own domain name, or I put something on AWS. And those things aren't forever. I mean, the average domain name, I think, especially like, you know, non-big domain name, maybe lives 2 to 3 years. And for a lot of these companies in the Web3 space, it's either individual contributors or these startups that are coming up. And the reality is that if you're storing your images, your files, your metadata on centralized servers, there's a very good chance, almost 100% chance, that those are going to eventually go away. And so what lives on the blockchain is the token, and you absolutely own the token, and as long as the blockchain lives, you'll have control of that. But it points to all of the things that you actually care about. What you see in the marketplace, the thing that made you buy the NFT in the first place, all that stuff is actually at risk. So at Club NFT, there's sort of two things that we're doing. We're promoting best practices. So we're trying to basically, when you log in and you enter your wallet, we show you how your NFTs are constructed, and we show you all those vulnerabilities, any NFTs that are pointed to centralized servers. And then in addition, we talked about decentralized storage. We're big advocates for IPFS. And so IPFS is basically a decentralized storage protocol. It's actually not storage itself. It's just a mechanism to basically store things in a decentralized manner. You can kind of think about it as like a peer-to-peer network. And the nice thing about IPFS is basically you can be responsible for hosting the image or the content, and the content address will never change. And the reason for that is that the address is actually a hashing of the content itself, which makes it so that basically the only thing that could ever live there is the content, and the user can upload it at any time and restore it, you know, regardless of who uploaded it originally. So it's a really, really great mechanism. We can get a little bit more into IPFS, but it's a really great mechanism, and it pairs very well with sort of the Web3 ethos, because it allows you to self-custody these things. You can pull all your content down, you can, you know, host it yourself, you can store it on many different storage devices, and if it ever disappears, you can re-upload it and restore it. And so what we do at Club NFT is, when you enter your wallet, we find all the NFTs that have IPFS content. We actually go out and we download all that content and we put in a zip file and give it to you. And now, you know, if ever in the future you have any issue with an NFT and the metadata disappearing, and, you know, all of a sudden the marketplaces can't show it, you can just re-upload that content and restore it yourself.
I had the opportunity to use NFT Club, of course, because of Tobo, because Tobo's like, man, you got to do this, come on. And it's been incredible. The service is so nice, and especially that you are all the time, like, you feel like you are taking care of the people that use the service. Because you're like, hey, you have some of your NFTs you haven't backed up. Come on, man. Do your work. And I think that's awesome. We always talk about that, you know. So if I wanted to ask you, like, because Club NFT right now, how long have you guys been since, like, actually putting together the Club NFT?
Yeah, so I think we just we launched the backup utility in February of 2022. So we're just about a year since product launch, and then we had spent a couple months prior sort of building in some of the backend capability and some education material and things of that nature. So a little over a year now.
That's nice, man. Okay. So if we were to ask you, like, what do you think, especially because the market, and we always talk about how crazy it is, and in Latin America especially, where we kind of like try to give all this information, it's very different from how the market is in the United States. Basically, just to put a bit of a context down, in Latin America, the people use a lot of crypto, but as a freedom tool to actually keep their money worth, because there's a lot of countries where we come from where the money, it's so volatile that it's crazy to keep your money on local currencies, right? But there's also a big NFT that has come on the side with everything, you know, like going and the technology building. So if I had to ask you specifically about Club NFT, like, what would you say will be, like, the challenges, you know, like you see on the space at the moment, especially in this 2023, when everything changes so fast?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I do think, you know, there's a big thing of awareness. So just understanding how your NFTs are constructed. And then also for anybody who's a creative or anybody, an artist out there who's actually minting work, you know, understanding a little bit about the marketplaces that you're interacting with in terms of, you know, what functionality they have, what authority they have. I know, you know, Manifold has sort of come onto the scene in terms of allowing people a bit of more sovereignty in terms of ownership over their contract. And that's a big one to me. You know, a lot of marketplaces have the ability to effectively sort of, you know, make an NFT non-transactable, right? They could revoke, or they could actually, you know, burn or remove on the behalf, because they have authority over the contract. And I can imagine in a lot of areas, there's a concern that, you know, whether it be copyright or takedown or some other notification, that as a creative, your work could actually be censored by the government or by an outside agency. And so, you know, it's always good to understand sort of what that functionality is within the marketplace, and then also to, you know, look into potentially having or your own contract, something that you have authority over, so that you can kind of protect yourself. In addition, I know a lot of people sort of get started in the space and they get really excited. And so they open a wallet and they write down their seed phrase and they email it to themselves, because they think, well, I'm just going to be experimenting. I don't have like a ton of money in this wallet, so I don't care. But then they go and they start minting works under that wallet. And the implication there long term is that if you do have some measure of success, you know, your royalties are tied to that address, you know, the provenance is tied to that address. And now that's potentially an address that is a bit vulnerable. Maybe you weren't as careful as you should have been. And so I do try to advocate that, you know, for your primary minting addresses or anything that you're going to be doing work under, you know, you should really consider a hardware wallet, a cold wallet that you use to mint from. And it should be, you know, as secure as any wallet that you would hold substantial amount of funds in, because long term, that wallet is going to be very important to you. And so, you know, it's something that, especially coming into the space new, I know I did it, you know, when I started experimenting, I wasn't as careful with seed phrases and things, and I'm sure they got uploaded to cloud services. And so it's something that you definitely want to be aware of. I think those two things in particular are very important. And then of course, you know, understanding how your NFT is constructed, whether you're owning them or creating them, and ensuring that they're going to, you know, stand the test of time and last are very important too, because there's one thing we know, especially in this bear market, is that, you know, the marketplaces that all exist today, it's very likely that a large number of them won't exist tomorrow. And the reality is that some of them are using centralized storage, and when they go under, there's nothing that can be done. Those NFTs are kind of doomed, which is unfortunate. And in the case of decentralized storage, the plus is if anybody has a copy and the marketplace goes under and stops paying for storage, then it can be restored. But it's important that you ensure that if you own the NFT and you care about it, that you go and custody those offline, you know, or off-chain assets so that they can be restored. Because it isn't a matter of if, it's a matter of when for a lot of these NFTs in terms of when they will be available or when a marketplace may go under.
What I wanted to ask you is like, why you guys did this service for free? For all the people that are listening right now, the service that Club NFT gave, or like they basically they give you your backup of your NFT for free. So I wanted to ask you, why do it this for free? So a good service that I haven't seen around in this space.
Yeah, so I mean, a big thing for both Chris, who's the other co-founder, and actually Chris and I went to college together, and Jay, was ensuring that whatever service we provided basically was in the ethos of Web3, that, you know, we didn't become a gatekeeper. And so allowing people to download things just made sense, because we wanted basically, if Club NFT goes away, that you still are protected and that you're not sort of beholden to us long term. And so that decision was something I think that was made very, very early on and was very, very important to the founders of the company. With regards to doing it for free, I mean, to be honest, it was a difficult challenge just to educate people that this problem existed. I know, you know, being so early in the space, Jason was intimately familiar with the problem, but the more we spoke with collectors, it was hard to basically express. I mean, we just did a valuation. We've been building some analytic tools in the back end. And we're basically protecting right now over $250 million in NFTs. I mean, $250 million. There are collectors, and we work with a lot of collectors spending substantial amounts of money. And the scary thing is that for some of them, they don't know these problems exist. And so it would be very challenging for us to come out and say, oh, we're going to charge you for backing up your NFT, when nobody understands that an NFT needs to be backed up in the first place. And so it was important to us, you know, in order to educate everyone in the space and in order to really highlight the problem, to make the tool widely available. We wanted as many people to understand the construction of their NFT as possible. And we wanted the maximum benefit, just as people who care deeply about art and about Web3, we wanted to make sure that we were providing a service that actually, you know, would benefit people and benefit us, to be honest, for the long term.
I feel, and listening to everything that you're saying, and the first time that I thought, you know what, I actually need this service, it happened to me and I have to put it in here. This is kind of an insurance, no? Because if you think about it, it's usually, you only feel, oh, wow, I need an insurance, when you actually need it. And it's exactly that I think is going to happen in a few years with the NFTs. That right now you have the NFTs, you can load everything, everything is looking great. But then in a few years, if you start like, okay, let me look what I have in my wallet. And half of them, you don't have anything, maybe because they were pointing to some another place and the image is not in there, you're going to be complaining. And I feel that that's actually can be really bad for the space if start happening in a few years. If you think about it, a lot of people right now, it's difficult to keep our reputation in a good place. And just imagine in a few years, if they are like, you know what, take a look, I have half of my wallet is actually with an error message because it's pointing to another, maybe centralized, or a place that they're not paying anymore, and my image is not in there. And only to put it in here, the for me, the aha moment of your service, it was with a kid's book that I have at home, that I think I got it from my sister. And when I was at the end of the book, it say, you know what, scan and you can listen to the song. When I went and scanned, it say, you know what, it's not available anymore. And of course, it was a broken link. And pretty much, I'm like, you know what, this can happen with my NFTs and this can look bad. And I feel that's what you guys are offering. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that this is a great way to explain why we need to keep all the data of our NFTs safe.
No, that's actually a really great analogy. That story, I think, sort of is a great illustration, right, of what's going to happen. And we've seen it happen. I mean, there was, you know, with the FTX debacle, there were the NFTs minted for Coachella that now all point to a litigation screen on the FTX website. And, you know, there is a layer that not everybody's sort of aware of within Web3, the whole indexer space. So like when you visit a marketplace or you go to a dApp, chances are it's not querying the data directly from the blockchain or IPFS. We have these services, and there's, you know, a lot of big companies out there and also open source projects that basically listen for events on the blockchain and pull everything down into a like a centralized database that's really easy to query. And so, you know, for a long time, there'll be things cached in these indexers, and it may appear that the NFT is still working, but the reality is that the media is now gone, right? And it's only a matter of time before basically as the indexer services, you know, change hands or go up and down or get re-indexed, that when it goes to find that data again, it's just gone for good. And so like, you know, it's a much bigger problem than I think people realize. And the fact that we're so beholden to sort of these indexer services, they have to be able to find this metadata and have to be able to find these images in order to be able to serve it. And if it can't index that or can't find the media, it's not even going to display it. There's nothing to display. So all of a sudden that NFT you bought from a specific artist, if it can't find the metadata, it can't find the image, you know, the next big marketplace that comes up, it just won't even appear. And so, you know, it'll be interesting, I think, in the coming years, especially as we see more and more of these centralized NFTs, you know, go away, how we're going to be able to handle sort of, because like I said, there really is no remedy in that case. If you own an NFT and it's currently pointing to, you know, some storage on AWS and someone stops paying that bill, then an NFT is just gone. I mean, the token's there, but the media is gone.
And right now I'm thinking out loud, right? But you guys that gave this service in two blockchains that I'm aware, Ethereum and Tezos. I knew you guys via Tezos, but my question is, do you guys think to expand to another blockchains, to maybe Solana or I don't know, but are you like planning to expand blockchain capabilities in terms of backups?
For sure. So we're constantly talking to collectors to see where they're active. We haven't sort of seen as big of the, you know, we predominantly operate within the art space. And that's not to say that we're not also active in the PFP space. But, you know, I think for the most part, the people who really care sort of about the long-term protection tend to be more on the art side. And so, you know, Tezos was a natural fit for us because we were all collecting there. I mean, it was sort of the space that we were all active in, and there's a great community and there's people who are really passionate. And by the way, the IPFS usage rate, I think I quoted for Ethereum, you know, it's about 50%. On Tezos, it's much more. I think it's in the high 90s, about 98%. So great adoption in terms of decentralized storage, which is perfect fit for us. But yeah, I mean, I would say if anyone has any particular interest, we're always kind of monitoring for similar communities. It absolutely is something that we are open to doing, open to other blockchains. But to date, to be honest, we just haven't found the volume, especially I think on the art side, that makes sense for us. So right now, just Ethereum and Tezos.
Matt, how about L2s? You know, like artworks that kind of will live on Optimism, Arbitrum, or all this technology that are coming up. Can you do the backup in that sense?
Yeah, for sure. So we actually did launch with Polygon support. But one of the things that we found, it's a bit of a challenge, is because Polygon shares sort of an address space with Ethereum, for a great while, basically, what was happening was it was so cheap to transact that a lot of people were finding the big collectors, you know, like maybe ArtGnome, and airdropping them a lot of like either spam or malicious NFTs, you know, in the hopes that basically they'll interact with them and potentially they could, you know, malicious. And it was far, the spam NFTs far outweighed anything basically of value that people cared about. And so we decided that we would hold off. And again, this was probably about a year ago. Things may have changed a little bit since then, because when you expose people to basically what was in their wallet on certain L2 chains, they were a bit surprised. And we were a little concerned too, where we were allowing users to basically download these things to their local computer, where it was so easy and so cheap to transact. You know, it was just too much of a vector for somebody to send you something maliciously, you know, and then we become a vector to basically translate that to you. So, yeah, I mean, there's no technological barrier to us being able to do a backup for those chains. And so certainly in the future, you know, should things change or communities develop around those spaces where there's a need, we would we'd absolutely be involved in that.
Yeah, I have to say, every time that I look into your website now, I really like, I'm not sure if it was in there in the past, the first time that I backed up my NFTs, but I have all the data and information and the like statistics of people using your platform. I like it. But the other thing that I like, and I think is something that we should highlight then in Spanish, is how good or how confident I was when I was using your platform. I feel that everything that you don't have to connect or approve any transaction, everything like how it looks and how you can do it, I think that's incredible. So just to put it in there, because I really like how, when I did it, and I feel one of the main things and main concerns in this space is you need to feel safe. So just imagine people with money or people just getting into the space in any language, I feel that they need to feel safe. So I have to say kudos with that one. And my question is more related, and I have to put it in here, Matt, about our sponsor. We're working with Bueno. I'm not sure if you know Bueno. Bueno is actually a platform that helps you to create generative art collections usually. So pretty much you can go and put all the assets and create your own collections. I have to say it, I use it in the past, and it's something that is really easy and simple to use. I feel that with the time the technology has evolved that fast, that used to be really difficult to put a collection together. And right now, pretty much you have a lot of services that help you with that. Of course, we're a big fan of Bueno and we use Bueno, but what I want to go and kind of tie it to the conversation, it will be, do you feel that the amount of collections went up in 2021 for sure, and a bunch of people putting art and collections out? But do you feel that the adoption of your platform is going up too because of that? I can see that when I look into, I really like, as I say, numbers, and I can see that you have around 5,000 people using your platform. That seems like a huge number. So I feel that, of course, it's a potential to grow, and I feel that most of those users can have more than one wallet, that it's kind of common in our space. But do you feel that with the more people adopting, how you're trying to target that audience? No, because I feel everybody's trying to maybe get their feet wet on the space and getting saying, you know what, I want to try what's going on with these NFTs and this technology. How you can bring those people to say, okay, now that you got your feet wet with the first NFT, now is the time to back it up.
Yeah, a few things. So as you mentioned, I think we're now around 5,500 users and over 7,000 wallets. So the average user, I think, is about 1.3 wallets, you know, and that's sort of, there are outliers, you know, certainly people with eight or more wallets. And then we have a fair amount of users who just log in with one wallet. In addition, I do want to mention, you know, we'll be actually providing a lot more insights. So we've been spending the last few months really getting a substantial amount of data around valuations, around availability of the files, and we've actually brought some indexing capability in-house. So we're hoping to actually give people a lot more sort of insight into their collection overall. And we should see that rolling out in the next couple of months, which is exciting. But as you mentioned, in terms of adoption, we're kind of in this funny place where bear markets are a little bit good for us in terms of adoption, because it really kind of illustrates the point. I mean, we've had a couple of marketplaces reach out to us for integration, and we're integrated in a good number of marketplaces now where you can kind of do a one click through and do a backup. And we've actually had discussion with a few marketplaces who are, you know, basically shutting down and looking for us to help to basically back up the files and NFTs long term. And so I think during a bear market and when things are down a little bit, or, you know, I know 2022, things have kind of turned the corner, it really actually illustrates the need and importance for a service like ours. And so, you know, we have seen a good uptick in users, never something, you know, that we necessarily want to see in terms of the downturn, but it definitely does sort of drive the point in terms of why we're doing what we're doing. But it is, I mean, it's a challenge, I think, for everyone right now, just because the space isn't necessarily growing at the same pace it was in 2021. I think we're all just really excited just to see how many people were coming into the space. But, you know, it is helping, I think, to sort of shake out a lot of the speculators and kind of really build that core. And it's interesting, having been in the space myself since 2018, you know, we've seen many of these sort of rises and dips over the period, but like, there's still so many people now in this space who are passionate relative to like back in 2018 when we had sort of a dip. You know, it really did feel like it was like handfuls of people, whereas now, I mean, it's such a thriving community, and it's just great to see that even in a period at the macro level where things may be difficult, how many people are still here and interested in building and, you know, pushing the space forward. So it's great.
I'm with you 100%. And me specifically, the fact that I've been an artist, like, I don't know, like almost two decades now, long before technology and anything, the fact what you guys are doing specifically for the art world is just fascinating. And I wanted to take five just to say thank you as an artist, because it's so great. Because if you think about it, and Topo and me have been having these, well, also Mauricio, of course, all the time, we're thinking about and we're saying about how basically the blockchain technology and the art world kind of merge together so good because of like scarcity, and because a lot of solutions that the blockchain came and brought to the industry of the art world, and was the first one to pop and went massive. And at this point in 2023, I think that, I don't know if blockchain technology solves all problems, but specifically as we talk about art, it's something that we're going to have, you know, like now it's going to be both of them living together. So the fact that you're giving this service for artists to actually even take care of their own collections, I think it's very, very awesome. And I encourage everybody in the room, I'm going to say this in Spanish, de verdad los que no hayan hecho nada y no hayan entrado en la página de Club NFT, por favor, entren y háganlo, porque es sumamente importante y es parte de ser nosotros mismos responsables del valor de nuestros activos. I was just telling the people, Matt, that to go on and check, you know, and do the Club NFT, because it's part as a collector, and us that believe in the technology, our own kind of like, how would you say, like obligation to go and back up our own data, you know, and be aware of what we have. So I think that's awesome, especially coming from the art world. If you were like, what would be, will you say the next steps of Club NFT on the near future? I know you already told us that you're going to be rolling some new features, which I'm very excited. if I'm not mistaken, more on the analysis part of what your assets are?
Yeah. So analysis will be sort of like, you know, we've always said that we're here to help collectors both build their collection as well as protect their collection. And so like another feature actually you can use today, and this is probably my favorite part of Club NFT. Nick, who's our head of data science, goes by DatCSV. Definitely check him out on Twitter. He's been very active in terms of building like tax tools and other tools within the Tezos ecosystem. Came on board and helped us build a custom recommendation engine for Tezos, where basically you can go in, enter your wallet or a collection of wallets or someone else's wallet. It'll actually analyze all the things that you collected or that another person collected, and then find other artwork that you haven't collected and make recommendations based on that. And it's a bit of a custom algorithm that works based loosely on sort of the way that when we talk to a lot of big name collectors and a lot of people in the space who are sort of respected, the way that they collect, which is, you know, they'll often go to an artist that they respect and start looking around in their wallet, like who are they collecting and who are they interacting with? And so we've built this sort of social graph algorithm to help surface new artwork that you may not have seen. And that's active today. You can go in, we call it Pathfinder or discovery tool, and it's free to use and you can go in. I actually think, like I said, that's probably the coolest part of what we're doing today. I know protection sometimes can feel almost like doing taxes, right? Going and downloading all the files. So I definitely think that's worth checking out. And like I said, I think just helping people build their collections by understanding what they have. I know you mentioned sort of the analogy to insurance. And, you know, I think what we really want to do is help people understand the value of their collection and then the security of their collection. And we're going to be introducing a whole bunch of new sort of metrics and data points that hopefully make it a lot easier to understand sort of the risk in what you own and potentially give you some insights into ways to manage your collection moving forward, maybe with an eye towards preservation.
We have some questions for the audience, people from the community that are really loved ones, Mexi and Memo. They're asking this question. Mexi is talking about, he's really into ordinals and all this movement in Bitcoin and NFTs. And what do you think about the ordinals? Do you want to offer the markup anytime soon, or what is your stand on this subject?
Yeah, so this is actually, it's something I neglected to mention, and I'm happy to do. So we actually have a sister site that we... that is part of Club NFT. So you might have heard of rightclicksave.com, which is an editorial site that is focused on sort of art and Web3. And just recently, Joe Looney, who's the sort of father of Rare Pepes, if you're familiar with Rare Pepe Wallet, that was Joe Looney. And he just did an article about ordinals on rightclicksave. And I definitely encourage anybody who's interested in ordinals, I'm not necessarily the best authority on how ordinals work or the history. And I know he did an interview with Art Gnome. It just came out last week. So I encourage everyone to go read that. Joe was that a wolf on Twitter too. But yeah, I mean, I think they're super cool. And actually, I think, you know, storing data on chain is also just kind of like a really cool constraint. But, you know, something to remember, whether it's ordinals or whether it's on Ethereum, you know, there's a huge price tag associated with storing things on chain, which become preventative for a substantial amount of people across the globe. And so as cool as it is to store things on chain, I hate the idea that it's sort of exclusive. If you don't have hundreds of dollars to put something, I don't think it makes the artwork any better. And so I'm a little bit... in that respect, sort of, I don't know. I don't always pump sort of the narrative that like on chain is superior. In addition, it's space limited, which means that basically for certain types of works, it just doesn't work. I mean, either that, or you have to go with lower res, or you've got to minify your code, or you've got to really condense like video. And so in that respect, I think for a lot of creatives and artists, it can be a negative constraint. And so, you know, I personally find it neat. I think it's sort of interesting, the idea of using, you know, the blockchain for storage. But, you know, especially in the case of Bitcoin and Ethereum, they weren't really built for storage. It's expensive. It's inefficient. Nobody really uses it to query for the most part. Anything that you're looking at a DF or a marketplace is not looking it up on chain. They're caching it locally, or they're, you know, like putting it in an indexer. And so, yeah, in general, it's a neat topic, and certainly an area I think is cool, but definitely comes with some issues.
Cool, Matt. We have a second question here for the audience, and we already have you here for almost an hour. I'm very grateful. We're going to be, you know, like going on, how you say, like ending up. We still have a question, but Nemo, who is also a big part of the community, and we've brought him into the podcast that we do. He knows a lot about security, and he's one of the people that encourages the Latino community to be safe in a very high level. He asks, imagine that for some reason the creator lost or changed the metadata. How you can restore the metadata from your backup if it's supposed that only the source is controlled by the creator and attached to the hash and pinned to the protocol?
Right. So in the case of IPFS, when you mint an NFT, there's within, so we'll take Ethereum, for example, there's a field within the contract called the token URI. And what that points to is traditionally a JSON file that has, you know, it has a standard in terms of what fields need to be there. And the JSON file describes the NFT. So it might have the name of the work. It might have the description, it has an image and a thumbnail that, you know, point to something else. And so once you mint the work, you basically are putting in that field the hash of the file in IPFS. And why that's important and why IPFS is important is that, you know, in the case of Club NFT, we go find the NFT, we go find that file at the hash, and then we find all the files that are referenced within the JSON document, and we download those and give those to you. And it decouples you basically from the person minting it, because if they cease to pay to store that file anymore, the way IPFS works is that hash file is the address of the file. And if I re-upload all of those files to IPFS, basically it becomes available again at that very same address as the person who originally uploaded it. And in fact, you know, in the case of like Hikkinook, when it went under, they were using IPFS. Lots of groups, including Club NFT, stepped in and re-uploaded that data to IPFS to make it available. And it actually is beneficial if, you know, you could think of it like peer-to-peer network or BitTorrent. The more seeders, so the more people who are uploading this files to IPFS, the more available it is. And actually the faster to retrieve it, because it's all over the world now. There are servers all over the world hosting it. And so when you ask for it from the network, it becomes much more accessible. So there's actually a benefit where another thing that Club NFT actually does now is we offer pinning. And pinning is basically replicating those files to make them more available. And so you could think, if you own an NFT and it's only being hosted on one server, the performance may not be great, you know, it's at a higher risk, but the more people who are basically seeding that file, the better the performance and the more likely it's going to persist. And so the idea that the person minting it, all they have to do is use IPFS, and then that enables anyone who's collecting or anyone within the ecosystem to basically seed that file in the future. And I know there's some technical complexity with, you know, re-uploading a file to IPFS. What we recommend right now, so we're actually, for a good number of users, we're pinning, which means the files should not disappear, but should Club NFT go away, there's like tutorials all over. IPFS is open source software, has a great community. And so it's, you know, there's even like a desktop client that basically you download IPFS desktop client, you just drag the files in and it'll re-upload them effectively to IPFS. There's a lot more nuance in there, but probably more than we want to get to, at least.
Yeah. No, I think everything that you're saying is great. Actually, it is a huge, and I'm really happy about the program today, about the episode. It's great to have this bridge between the, as I always say, the main purpose that we have is actually bringing all the knowledge and everything that is happening in English sometimes, so outside of our like realm, and bring it to the Spanish community. So it's really good to have you in here. I think as Topo is always pushing for your service, I think it's something that everybody must take a look and do it if actually they appreciate what they have in their wallet. And something that I don't want to forget, and it's funny because I'm always giving feedback without asking, but I have to say, Matt, something that I really like is actually that reminder in the email, because it happened to me not that long ago that you say, you know what, I get the email saying, hey, you haven't back up, I think, since Christmas or something like that, and I did it. So pretty much that reminder can save my life. So pretty much everything that I have in my wallet. So I really like what you're doing. I'm glad that you explained a bit about the Discover NFT section that I think is the section in your website, because I was like, okay, protect NFTs, I know about it, but Discover NFT is something new for me. So pretty much I think that's what you explained. And I'm really happy that you're with us and you had the chance to speak with us and we can talk to the Spanish audience about everything that you're offering and doing.
No, I super appreciate you having me. And I know, you know, between the Discover and sort of right click save, one of the things that we're really hoping to do is also just help people discover new artists and artists all over the world. It's important to us to not just be a website that sort of pushes the top 1% and the artists that are already kind of established. We're very much interested in trying to expand people's exposure to artists all over and people that you may not have seen and people just starting. And so, it's a big part of our mission, and I appreciate you guys mentioning it. I know the protection stuff is super important, but, you know, to be honest, internally for us, it's just as important to get exposure to as many number as creatives globally as possible. So appreciate the time.
No, thanks so much, brother. I've been really close from Club NFT since I take my deep dive in the space. It's a super tool. I recommend to everybody. Todos los que están aquí, si no tienen, si aprovechen, hagan el backup de sus NFTs. Que bueno, esto es una de las cosas que tenemos que tomar responsabilidad en este mundo descentralizado. You know, this is one of the key things that you have to be, you know, taking on our responsibility, be the individual who custody your data. For me, that's super forward thinking, buddy. I know I tell you a lot, this a lot of time. I think you guys come from the future. We're looking for you guys in New York. I hopefully can meet and have a good time. Put on my headband. I need my headband, bro. So thank you so much. And everybody in the space, toda la comunidad aquí, que gracias por venir, por estar aquí a escuchar, y hagan el backup de sus NFTs.
Yeah, bro, thank you for coming. It was an awesome conversation. As I said before, we'll revisit it and try to bring it to the Spanish community as much as we can. We really appreciate you taking the time being here. And especially, we really appreciate what you do for the space in a macro kind of view, man. What you guys are doing, it's spectacular. We really, really thank you. We're going to leave the show and we're going to listen to some music. But before that, man, anything you want to end up in closing words?
No, I just want to thank you guys for what you're doing in the space. I think it's, you know, probably the most vitally important thing is just getting information out there and getting as many voices and helping people understand. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing and thanks for having me.
Somos Cerebro Web 3 y estamos trabajando con la misión de conectar a los hispanohablantes en Web 3. Nos pueden seguir en nuestro Twitter @CerebroWeb3, en donde estamos todo el día hablando sobre los beneficios, avances y aplicaciones del blockchain en el mundo.